Well, welcome to the review of Correct Weight, looking back on racing around Australia yesterday. And Dino, I've got to start this with a congratulations. The Breakfast Club listeners are rejoicing following being able to snare the quaddie at Caulfield yesterday, Kate, courtesy of your preview both Friday morning and yesterday.
Yeah, thanks very much, Warren. It was a good day. Shame for the all-up contestant. We couldn't get the clean sweep with Sikorsky, but no, it was a pretty good day at the office.
Talk about that later. Brendan Delaney, good morning to you. What was your take on racing at Caulfield yesterday?
Interesting day, wasn't it? Runners getting away from the fence, but all in all, an entertaining day.
We talked about that early yesterday, Dino, and Gareth Hall was trying to elaborate on how we thought the day might play with the wind conditions, and with that northerly wind, it really did look as, and we'll get into the program and discuss it in more detail, but a little bit of cover down that that side straight, or the shoot start, so to speak, definitely was an advantage for the majority of yesterday.
Yeah, I think that there's probably a few factors to that, Warren, because in the straight they didn't want to be a part of the rail either. So whilst we were racing on better ground yesterday than we've had in recent weeks, probably the previous meetings had taken a little bit of a toll on the track closer to the inside. So yeah, they just had to plot a path a little bit away from the rail through the day, and as you said, cover down the side was all important.
Race one was over 1,100 metres for the two-year-old. Brad Ruilla and James Cummings combined with the well-bred Valaquenta.
Into the straight, it's Island Joy, and on the outside, Dark Horse together from Crystal Chief, stoked up two lengths away. Your long progress behind them, Valaquenta, Nantucket, and Jabali Ridge from the back is storming home. Island Joy at the 150, grabbed by Crystal Chief. Valaquenta's right there, Nantucket, and Jabali Ridge, a great finish. Valaquenta just in front, Nantucket lifting. Valaquenta beat Nantucket, Crystal Chief or Jabali Ridge for third. Terrific finish.
Just over a length, the first five across the line. Dino, how'd you see the first?
Yeah, well, Valaquenta just given a really good ride just in that midfield sort of spot, and just kept improving into the race, and ultimately that's what he had to have to win. Nantucket ran very well. Crystal Chief, yeah, that Flemington form stood up quite well, even though it was a low-pressure race. It stood up quite well, and I thought Jabali Ridge's return was quite good. But Valaquenta, we saw him early doors win at Moonee Valley, and yeah, he contested a Blue Diamond preview. He ran in maybe one of the better two-year-olds of the season first up at Randwick with Peltzer and Overlord, so he wasn't disgraced there. And I think it was Bruce McAvaney on Channel 7 yesterday said he's been introduced nearly every time he races as Kemantari's brother. Kemantari might start saying that he's Valaquenta's brother now, I think.
Yeah. What was your thoughts on the first, Brendan?
Just got a nice run through, didn't he? Valaquenta got a fraction keen early, but the runs came for him late, and Ruilla drove him through. Really good effort. Nantucket was good. Crystal Chief just got a little bit tired late. Run over, I thought it was a good effort. Jabali Ridge was hard to miss. Kayakalana back over on the inside. The runs didn't come early enough. I thought Johnny Boss didn't have a great deal of luck, but it might be a nice enough race, this one.
From the steward's report, it might have been an indication of what was to come throughout the day. Island Joy, who led and railed through near the inside, weakened from the 100-metre mark. And Jamie Carr reported that the filly may be better ridden in a position behind the leaders, raced a bit greenly, and a post-race veterinary examination didn't lead to any abnormality to be found, Dino. But leading near the inside for the majority of the day didn't seem to be the right spot. And so perhaps do we cut some slack for Island Joy, only second day at the races?
I think so. Looking at how the day unfolded, often the first leader at Caulfield's a good place to be, but maybe yesterday it wasn't, because I thought coming to the turn she had her stablemate well and truly beaten, and yet he beat her home quite comprehensively.
What about the debut of Kahalan? How did you mark her, Dean?
Thought ran well. Yeah, as Brendan mentioned, probably just needed the runs a touch earlier, but the closing speed was quite good. This was a pretty low-pressure race, and was, courtesy of Daily Sectional Times, the weakest rating race of the day. But, yeah, it was certainly an encouraging debut on for a horse that probably needs further.
Ben Malham's got a good association with the Mitch Friedman stable. Broadway and Fourth was back in distance to 1,100 metres and ridden to finish on strongly late in race two yesterday.
Button Express up to the turn at the 450, led Felicia and Paul's Regret third, three wide. Lankenstar needs some luck behind them from Kelkani Royale. Absolute Flirt the widest. Hint of Mint is held up behind horses. Broadway and fourth will be one of the widest. Then Zushia. Button Express approaches the 200 from Felicia. Lankenstar. Absolute Flirt down the outside is running on, and Broadway and fourth is bombing late too. Absolute Flirt grabbed by Broadway and fourth, back in trip, and she loved it. Broadway and fourth beat Absolute Flirt. Felicia, photo.
She did seem to love it, Brendan. What were your thoughts here?
Yeah, she's just been screaming out for a race where she can be close enough to use that finish and have enough speed in front, and maybe just the comeback in trip was the recipe for her. Button Express rolled along at a good enough gallop with Felicia up there on the outside. I thought Felicia's run was pretty good riding the speed, considering where you look where Button Express has finished. All be forgiving for Button Express. He was hard up against the rail, but Broadway in fourth, we know she's got that powerful finish. She's shown us that before, but everything just a lot for her yesterday to really use that. Absolute Flirt, she loomed like she was the winner of the race. It was a real typical effort from her. She's never far away. Felicia, good Lankenstar. Runs probably didn't come early enough back there on the fence. I don't think Paul's Regret probably appreciated racing without cover. She's probably better tucked in and using that little burst that we've seen of her late. And Kelkani Royale was probably one that was never really in the clear from back on the inside. But the stars aligned for Broadway and fourth yesterday. She got the speed for her to work off the back of, and coming back in trip really aided her.
A race that changed complexion, Dino, at the barriers with the late scratchings of Samals and Excused.
Yeah, certainly it did, Warren, and set up well for Broadway and fourth. She's just got to have that slingshot run and maybe appreciating the trip and the dry ground, and she was able to get home strongly and win home in the best 800 and 200 of the day, second best 600 and 400. So she, you know, she really did. It was visually impressive, and she ran the time as well. It was a good performance. Absolute Flirt ran very well. I reckon Sujia ran quite well, ran second last, but it was just building speed on the line, and the sectional times backed that up. She actually ran the fifth best last 200 of the meeting. Maybe over a little bit further, I think Sujia might win a little race soon.
Disappointing that circumstances at the barriers. Samals became fractious and reared and broke through and galloped around the track riderless. So unfortunately, she had to be a late scratching, and she'll have to have two consecutive jump outs to the steward's satisfaction before she can be approved a race. So a solid hit out yesterday, two jump outs to get ready, two more jump outs to get back to the races. Poor old Samals, do you know, she might be ready for a break by the time she's ready to get back to the races.
Well, that's right, and that's been a bit of an issue with her through her career, and that's why she's got a trial twice, I'd imagine, because she does have priors for barrier behaviour.
And Excused an unfortunate collateral damage there with her barrier open, and she just got free, so she didn't do anything wrong. She was just been in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, exactly. So, it sort of brought the size of the field down a little bit, and for those that liked Samals, it was probably very disappointing.
But the way the race shaped up, you'd be surprised if you're outlining the performance of Broadway and fourth. It would have taken a terrific performance from anybody to beat her if they did line up against her. An interesting preparation, Dino. The jump out for Broadway and fourth, and Mitch Friedman outlined post-race on racing.com, she left the barriers and was asked to really begin because she just, even though she's better ridden back in the field, he wanted to make sure she really left the barriers in a jump out at Ballarat during the week. And she actually led that jump out by a long way, and totally different dynamic to the way she was ridden under race day pressure, but just showing how different, I suppose, techniques of trainers and different ways of preparing horses to get them to the races.
Yeah, just a bit of a wake-up call, I reckon, that jump out was, because even though, as you said, she raced at the back, she was engaged in the contest yesterday, where she's been sort of losing contact with the field in some of the races.
Broadway and fourth, back to her best, back to 1,100 metres and sprinting quickly with some good late sectionals in race two at Caulfield yesterday. Just spoke to Lockie King about the performance of Ruben Blur, and he would have been pleased to see the way Broadway and fourth won the previous, the way he was wanting to ride Ruben Blur.
So it's Urach at the 400 metres. Interestingly, staying off the inside running rail. It's four off, led by a length. There's a big run for Mrs. O'Malley back on the inside. Lighter up the centre. Scottish Rogue getting through. Kalashani Lad's winding up. It's the widest. Might just about have them. Kalashani Lad with a nostril to spare from Scottish Rogue. Here's Ruben Blur, and I'm telling you, Ruben Blur sprouting wings takes, I'm telling you, Ruben Blur will win it. Ruben Blur from I'm telling you. Three-way go for third Scottish Rogue.
Two horses backing up from the week before at Flemington, Dean, and probably both suited the way that the track was playing at this stage.
Yeah, absolutely. And, it was openly mentioned going into the race that Ruben Blur was going to get a quieter ride, and he got that, and he got the momentum at the right time. He was able to just get through, and he was solid to the line. He did a good job. I'm telling you, as he does most times, he steps out, runs some of the best sectionals of the day, just given he's... He begins moderately and he's always back in the field, but gee, hit the line well. It was a terrific run, and he's typical of the Yagi stable at the moment. He's just running to his best. Scottish Rogue, first run for the new stable, closer to the inside, ran well. And Redcore, been sort of waiting for him off two runs where he's ridden too close. He'd been trialling well, and I just thought that 1200 was a bit of a challenge for him, but he hit the line like a horse that'll run it very strongly. His run was good yesterday, fourth best last 400 and 200 of the meeting. So if he races like that, 1200 shouldn't be beyond him the way he hit the line.
Is slightly firmer ground the key to Redcore performing well too, do you think?
Oh, no, there's no doubt. And he's been scratched many times, and that's why he was in a bit of limbo, and they probably just thought they had to race him, and I didn't know if 1200 was the right option. But he certainly ran well enough at 1200 to suggest he could get one of these races.
Stewart spoke to Craig Newitt regarding the performance of Redcore and said he was instructed to ride the gelding quiet for a late run, as the gelding performs best when ridden in that manner. For that reason, he didn't come to the outside of iBoogie at the 400 metre mark and elected to wait. And doing that, Brendan, he was held up a little bit, and then he did get out and sprint late. But Craig Newitt was questioned by stewards, but riding to instructions, holding him up for that late sprint. How did you see this race?
He just got into that little bit of an awkward spot on the turn, didn't he, where there wasn't too many horses that were going to card him up, and the winner had snuck through underneath him, and I'm telling you, went around the outside. Thought Ruben Blue was really good. Lockie King gave him a great ride through the pack. Kalashani Lad loomed and probably got there a bit soon and then got a bit tired. He ran well first up again, as he has been doing. I thought Lyder was pretty brave up on the speed. I'm telling you, his usual honest race, and credit to Mrs. O'Malley and Scottish Rogue back down on the inside. The way the day panned out, you have to give them a couple of bump up in the ratings, just for the fact that they've stuck on so well in the ground where horses didn't really do it yesterday. But all in all, Ruben Blur, he's been promising to win a race, back on dry ground, the key for him. And I'm telling you, just keeps churning out good efforts and keeps running on hard from the back. He's be a little bit of a heartbreaker. You're following him on the punt, but you'd love to have a little share in him, because you know he gives his best, as do all of the Argy team, as Dean outlined. They're really flying at the moment.
Dean, monitoring the Melbourne Racing Club race day app during the course of the day, it looked like that wind, primarily a northerly and in their faces out of the shoot start, was somewhere between about 30 and 40 kilometres an hour for the majority of the day, or gusting up and in around about that range. And with that wear and tear perhaps nearer the inside, we forgive the performance of a horse called Leader. I know he's got a few tricks, but probably the way the race shaped up for him, he was probably going to be facing the breeze and up somewhere near the speed, which wasn't ideal.
Yeah, I'd be forgiving of him. I'd be forgiving of Mrs. O'Malley, because she was down closer to the inside, and the real head-scratcher for mine, because I was giving him a good chance first up, was Dubai Dominion, and he tracked up on the back of horses that ran well and gave ground badly over the last 300 metres.
They don't have a history on how he performs. The vision that was available showed him getting pretty warm in the mounting yard prior to the race. That could be a trait of his, but T.O. Nugent couldn't offer any explanation to the stewards for that performance, and the horse had left the race course prior to a post-race veterinary examination. He needs a veterinary clearance prior to racing again. That's not because they found anything wrong, do you know? They just couldn't find the horse.
Yeah, well, yeah, put out a search party for him, but he was a long way from what he'd shown in the jump outs leading in, and he was in the exact position I thought he'd been in the run, but he just couldn't maintain from about the 400.
Mick Price and Mick Kent Jr. had a very strong hand in race four at Caulfield yesterday. And the first leg of Dino's All Up was Right You Are with Damien Oliver aboard.
Regards Marie puts it to Quail Hollow as they quicken considerably. Next is Liberate Independent Road. Right You Are, four off the lead, brought to the middle of the track with the red cap. Winsome Voyages cut the corner up on the inner from Translator. Regards Marie took the front at the 200. Liberate chases hard, and here's Right You Are now. Liberate with Right You Are, who has it in its sights and moves up, takes the lead and pounces. Right You Are, about a length, Liberate. Translator, Liberate coming back at Right You Are, but Right You Are beat Liberate Translator. They were followed by Independent Road.
Good win there, Brendan. A good mate to many of us, and a good mate to many in racing in a number of codes. Billy Hutchison with a share in Right You Are. And I think he's got plenty to look forward to, Brendan.
Yeah, he's got a nice one on his hands here, doesn't he? Both So You Think out of Like a Ding, who was a good mare in her own right. He had a nice enough run in behind them yesterday. He's still got plenty to learn. Ollie really had to cajole him late. Not sure if he just maybe caught sight of the steward's tower, the shadow on the track, or once he got his nose in front of Liberate, he might have lost sight of him with the winkers on, but he was doing enough to hold him once Liberate lifted at him. But there's raw ability there, and once he puts it together, there's some promise there for him to go on to some really nice things. I thought Liberate did a good job, three wide, no cover, stuck it on really well. Translator found the line nicely between horses without a great deal of room. Grinzinger Ali closed it off well with the tempo probably a little bit against him. Smoke Bomb missed the kick, and I thought he closed it off well, considering he's been up on the pace of late. But Right You Are, I think Billy's got one he's going to have a little bit of fun with. He's a bit lucky at the moment, bit of a lad, and Right You Are, he's ticking along nicely, the old fella.
And, Dino, I shouldn't have called it the all-up. It's the formula bet, because there is the all-up component, which Sikorsky unfortunately didn't deliver in the second leg, albeit only narrowly, but something for the contestant with Right You Are taking out the first leg of the formula bet, and it was a pretty safe watch.
Yeah, it was. It was just a beautiful ride. The pattern established by this stage of the day, and Damien Oliver's first consideration was to stay off the rail, and he'd drawn in, so he just manoeuvred to get to the right spot, and from about the 600 he was going to present in the right lane, the exact right lane, and he didn't get around the corner very well, got his head up a little bit, Right You Are, and he flattens out really nicely, and then he's just sort of clocked off a bit later. He's got a fair bit of upside, this horse. What I like is his strength, which will show that he'll run 2,000 metres plus. You look at the figures out of all of his runs, and he's always running home in plus figures late, which is always, I think, a really encouraging sign. And he did it again yesterday. It was a good win. Liberate was terrific. Three wide, but wasn't probably that big a penalty given how the track was yesterday. Translator was a good run because he was a late scratching last week from a 2,000 metre race. So he'd been trained up for that and then had to run in a mile race. He ran well, and sort of transformation with Grinzinger Ali, getting him over a bit further, it's really starting to pay dividends. He'll be winning pretty soon. His closing speed was excellent. Sixth best last 400 and 200 of the meeting. So at the end of 1600, that was a very good effort.
And Smoke Bomb just bounding at the start, knuckled and was slow to begin in the steward's report. So do we just forget that Smoke Bomb went around, Dean?
Yeah, we'll change his name to Smoke. We don't want to see him bomb the start again. He just went straight up in the air and really changed the complexion of the race. And one thing he did do is he ran very well given how much start he gave away. He didn't do a bad job at all.
Jockeys have to react, don't they? I suppose that's a sporting contest when the barriers open, but they're probably all looking to file in behind when you've got a designated leader like Smoke Bomb, and look around when you've gone 100 metres or so and where's the grey horse gone? It just wasn't there. So you just have to adapt and adapt to another race shape, I suppose. And she said Ollie's prime intent seemed to be to hold a spot in a comfortable position, but certainly to be staying off the rail, Dean.
Yeah, and it was an absolute perfect ride, really. He just got in the right spot, had all the main chances sort of where he wanted them, and then could advance when he needed to in clear air. So that, as you said, was a pretty comfortable watch, really. And I think he's a really nice horse going through the grades.
He's only been beaten just under a couple of lengths, Independent Road, but is he a better horse at Flemington than he is at Caulfield?
Yeah, he probably is. I'd be happy to back Right You Are to beat him sort of wherever they played, but he is probably a bit better horse at Flemington Independent Road, and he ran okay. And, I thought he'd get a, the right sort of run from an inside draw, and maybe that wasn't ideal for him yesterday, but happy to think that Raichuara is going to keep progressing past him.
Great Duchess was first up in the fifth yesterday for Greg Urell and Jai McNeil at 1,200 metres.
500 metres to run. It's Pariano just shading Oh So Hazy. Twitchy Frank doing a tough out deeper. They were followed by Causeway Girl, who's sooling forward with Gadotten. She's a thief, needs some luck from Music Bay Queen Annabelle. Tahitian Dancers making up ground on the fence. Then Great Duchess, Jamaican Hurry. It's Pariano, Oh So Hazy together. She's a thief now joins them. Gadotten down the centre with Causeway Girl. Jamaican Hurry is flying with Great Duchess. They go together. Jamaican Hurry, Great Duchess, 100 to go. Great Duchess about a neck, a half Jamaican Hurry, and it's the Duchess. Great Duchess beat Jamaican Hurry. Miss Mandito for third.
First up, 1,200 metres. Gee, halfway down the straight, Dino. You mentioned how well the Amy and Ashiagi stable's going. I was thinking Jamaican Hurry was going to make it another win and add to that picket fence. How did you see this race?
Yeah, exactly. She really wound up like the winner, but Great Duchess, she'd had two jump outs. The first one was an absolute beauty, and then the second one, she was ridden really close to the speed, and she just looked a little bit plain. But yesterday, ridden in her race pattern, I think this was the race where probably the lead speed went out of it because they were playing off the rail. A horse like Pariano can lead at 1,000 metres, led at 1,200, but at a pretty slow speed for the first 400, and then went slower to the average the next 400. So the momentum horses get that really good advantage because they're improving into the race. And Great Duchess and Jamaican Hurry, they were the ones that made the most ground from the 800 to the 400. So they built their speed and they've run the 1-2. Miss Mandito didn't get the chance to build it at that point, but really hit the line hard, ran well for third. But this was a race for those building momentum. And I just think the leaders, because of how the day was panning out, probably went a little bit steady.
How'd you see this race, Brendan?
Yeah, Dino nailed it on the head there. Horses that were building their momentum wider out were the ones that played the part in the back end. I know Oso Hazy ran last, but she hasn't come back with the promise that we thought she might have. She's been pretty tame in her two runs back. Great Duchess, really strong the last 100. Jamaican Hurry, maybe just peeking out late. Miss Mandito, she was coming into the race on the back of the first two across the line, but she just got into trouble on the turn. She lost her spot. You could make a case she should have been in the finish with the first two. Queen Annabelle, in restricted room, majority of the straight, didn't get much luck. Causeway Girl was deep throughout her run, told on her late. Twitchy Frank was pretty fresh early on in the race. I know they didn't go overly hard, but she was charging up there around the outside. Gadotten just didn't finish it off, and a forgive run for Tahitian Dancer. She was locked up back there on the inside when the leaders came back in her face. She had nowhere to go, so a forgive for her, but Great Duchess has returned in good form.
Yeah, Tahitian Dancer probably ideally would have liked to have been drawn out a bit wider. That race pattern probably would have suited her, but she wasn't in a position to build that momentum, as Brendan outlined. And it is clarified in the stewards report, held up for clear running from the 400 until passing the 200 and back nearer the inside was Tahitian Dancer. So probably not ideal for her. And perhaps a forgive for Gadotten, Brendan. Weakened from the 200, Brad Ruilla reported his mount did not feel right in its action. A post-race veterinary examination failed to reveal any obvious abnormality in the stewards. Stewards will follow up with the stable. So just for a horse that has been so consistent, Dean, just an out-of-character finish to the race for Gadotten?
In the stewards' film, just looks like she's getting no drive from behind at all, and I can understand why the rider probably thought she didn't feel right, because she's just she's getting no extension at all in her action. But, the horse that you've both mentioned, Tahitian Dancer, I think she'd been out in the lane where you wanted to be. She'd have been certainly in the placings anyway. Yeah. So if you see a finishing position like she had yesterday in the form ride, when she steps out in a couple of weeks' time, it's certainly not indicative of how she went.
Dyslexic's got its head up and raced ungenerously when being restrained in the early stages and eased down in the straight. Mitch Aitchen couldn't offer an explanation for the performance of Dyslexic. So, Dino, what do we do with a horse like Dyslexic, who's competed reasonably well in better grade than what we saw yesterday, but had that type of performance yesterday?
Yeah, I got this horribly wrong. I thought, being a bit of a class runner, but first up Adelaide, then the two runs in Sydney and back here, she just had no interest at all. And rising six-year-old, I imagine she's on the back end of her career. She's probably done her job, and I won't be tumbling into her anytime soon.
what we saw was Great Duchess winning first up for Jai McNeil and Greg Urell, and looks to be in for a good campaign. Jamaican Hurry, Miss Bandito, running well also. Tavasan was back near the inside when he resumed recently for the Mick Price and Mick Kent Jr. stable. Ben Mellum was aboard yesterday over 1,100 metres in race 6.
Tavasan in control up to the turn at the 500 from Snitzcraft. A length Ashlaw, News Girl, two off the front. Reward with Return stoked up from the Centurion. Then came Innkeeper, who hunts the inside with Never Again. Hawker, Hurricane and Catch Me will be the widest. Tavasan in the straight at the 250, led by two lengths Snitzcraft. And then Ashlaw, Innkeeper back on the inside. Then News Girl, still Tavasan. 100 metres to go in front of Walls chasing. Innkeeper and Ashlaw. Tavasan in front of Innkeeper. Tavasan beat Innkeeper, and then came I Am Someone for four.
Riding the speed, and you referenced yesterday morning, Dino, what good gate speed Tavasan has. How did this race shape up for Ben Mellum?
Yeah, well, he, by this stage of the day, you knew that the inside was off, but Tavasan's got two things. He's great out of the gates, but he's also a horse that likes to rail up because he lays in that little bit. But Ben Mellum had the stick in the left hand and just kept him away from the rail and kept him on the line he wanted. And ultimately, he was just too sharp. It was a good win. He's a pretty reliable horse in this sort of grade, Tavasan. And again, yesterday, you know, he probably had enough on the line, but he did enough to get the job done.
Looking at the race day app for the Melbourne Racing Club, and it updates regularly, but if I interpreted it right, it showed that the wind was just at a little bit of a low point around about this time, being down under 20 kilometres an hour around this period of the day, and maybe therefore leaders, Dean, mightn't be of as disadvantaged if the wind was just having a little bit of a quiet time?
Yeah, it's certainly got to help, and he had no option but to be ridden in the manner he was. But it probably was a good time of the day for him to be running. I thought I'd be very forgiving of a run like Snitzcraft. I know he's building up a few convictions, but I would have thought the way the day was panning out, Philip Stokes would have liked to have had the blinkers off him yesterday and not going back on, because he was too keen and he'd have been better coming with that swooping run. But I'm forgiving of his run. Innkeeper ran well. He just needs another win. He hasn't won since the Topaz 2 years ago. I Am Someone, good return after that horrible spring campaign. He ran really well first up, and he's probably not far off a win.
How do you see this race, Brendan?
Yeah, Tavasan on a dry surface suited him a little bit better, rolled on the speed and just kept running. As Dean outlined, he was probably out of tickets on the line, but he'd done enough to break them up. I thought Innkeeper's run was really good. He's starting to show glimpses of form. He went on that really long winning streak back when he won the Topaz at Swan Hill going back a couple of years ago. Now he might be firing up to win again. I Am Someone was a nice effort. Ashlaw held his spot okay in the straight after riding the speed. News Girl covered a fair bit of ground out there wider. I know the wind wasn't at its peak then, but still maybe a little bit of a forgive for her. I thought Catch Me closed it off pretty well with Hawker Hurricane, but Tavasan, he'd be better suited down on the rail where he can really scoot and kick away. We've seen him do that at Moonee Valley and the like, but if he was back down on the fence, he might have won by a little bit further, but it was a good effort from him. And you would think Innkeeper, I Am Someone are two horses that are probably going to win in the not-too-distant future. Innkeeper just has to find a way to do it, but you would think I Am Someone might just beat him to the winner's stall.
Couple via the SMS, Dino. One of them's from a regular contributor, Wayne from Oakley, and he's just getting a few things off his chest. So we'll let him have his say, because that's what the forum's for. Good morning, panel. Not sure whether this is the right forum, but the word was out Friday evening that the fence was off at the Heath. In these testing times, should the serious racegoer expect more transparency? So you talk on that, Dino, if it was evident the jocks didn't want to go there. How is it better communicated to the punting public if it's something like that is the case, as appeared to be evident yesterday?
Yeah, well, they didn't know about it in race one. If the jockeys do walk the tracks and they wanted to play hard on the inside in race one and tracks can give out quite quickly at this time of year, but often you get a couple of races where the inside holds up, but maybe yesterday wasn't one of those days. So, look, it's a hard one. I think if track managers come out and say, you know, the fence is going to be off. It's a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. I prefer the riders to sort that out a little bit myself.
Another one regarding the coverage. This is the TV coverage. Now that we can't attend, I would hope we'd get better mounting yard coverage. If it means a 5-7 glimpse of a horse's ample backside disappearing on track down to the barriers, so be it. But I don't have a wager. So just with respect to the mounting yard coverage, and preface it by saying I'm involved with the racing com operation. I'm part of the team there. But I suppose when owners can't attend, Dino, every effort's got to be done to try and give punters and owners a good a glimpse of their horse in the mounting yard as they can, given that they can't be there to see the horses in person.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's fair call, and you often, you know, see it a little bit on delay, or there's not a lot of vision. It's a pretty busy schedule, but I think, any vision you can get when you're not on course in these times is invaluable.
You got a comment on either of those topics, Brendan?
I think you just leave it up to the jockeys. That's what they get paid to do. In regards to the rail, they get paid to ride the horse and sort out the place to be. You've just got to trust that the jockeys are going to get the job done. Maybe it might be a case of we need an extra meeting or two throughout this period on a Saturday at Sandown, just to give these tracks maybe a little bit more of a break. And I know Mooney Valley's in recovery from the night series, and we get back there soon, but maybe just sharing the load amongst the tracks might hold them in better stead than jockeys wanting to steer clear of the rail. But we'll leave that to the powers to be. And, they're working with really restricted time on TV, on racing.com. They're doing their best to try and get everything in, but sometimes the clock just beats them.
Wayne signed off by saying, please forgive my little rant. It appears the isolation from my beloved Heath is getting to me. You don't have to apologise, Wayne. We like your feedback and you're a passionate regular contributor. And we did get something from Neil last week, Dean, regarding Roy Higgins' number of Group 1 victories. I haven't clarified the number, but I had a brief conversation with Jason Richardson about this, and it appears that there has been a reduction in the number of Group 1 victories that have been accredited to Roy Higgins just because of the status of the races changing. So I will try and clarify that for you, Neil. Have you got any indication, Dino, or any more information about that? Sorry if it's a question without notice, but just a reduction in Group 1 victories for our beloved late Roy Higgins and just with the way that the races have been assessed now?
Well, the biggest issue with that, Warren, is that the group and listed status only came in 1979 and Roy retired in 1983. So, how are we considering these races, with regard to status? I think what the common figure's been a bit over 100, is it? 106 or something like that? I'd be sort of sticking, somewhere around that. But I think it's very hard to actually define, because group racing the statuses weren't in when Roy rode the bulk of his winners.
Yeah, talk is that it's been reduced to something like 90, but I will try and get some more specific information for you on that, Neil. Apologies for not being able to clarify that this week. You did ask last week. We're working through it. Race 7 at Caulfield yesterday. Philip Stokes, Michael Poy combined with All Too Wing.
Tavi Run tried to skip away on the point of the corner. Marginally off the fence led Sikorsky, Buena Veloz, Pure Scott to the outer, then Wheel Leisure. Bartholomew Diaz has run up behind them. So it's Tavi Run, Buena Veloz, the fence, Sikorsky up the middle. Bartholomew Diaz next from All Too Hoying, then Sickening. Sikorsky took the front, but it has company. All Too Hoying and Bartholomew Diaz coming at Sikorsky. No good thing. All Too Hoying's got it. All Too Hoying has just beaten Sikorsky. For third, a photo, no say in it, or Bartholomew Diaz.
Close but no cigar there, Dino. And with tongue in cheek, I firmly lay the blame at Wheel Leisure for just keeping Sikorsky that little bit wide early.
Probably right too, Warren. Might have just lost you there.
There, we're just going to talk to Dino about the performance there in particular, Sikorsky and All Too Wing. We got you back there, Dino.
Yeah, thanks, Warren. It was, he did that little bit of work early. I just think Caulfield beat him yesterday. I don't think he got any acceleration around the bend, and that's why he was off the bit. And I think Ollie had to nurse him around. Looked like he was maybe going to hang on. but All Too Hoying got him late, and it was a good win by All Too Hoying because he's not a horse that really can sit and sprint, and coming to the turn, he was just getting held up, and I thought, oh, gee, he's probably in trouble, but he actually found a way to win, and that was, I think, Philip Stokes has got this horse going really well at the moment. Sikorsky lost nothing, really. I just think he's a better horse at Flemington, and couldn't help but be impressed with the run of No Say in It. He was out where you wanted to be, but gave away a big start, and on a fairly slow speed, which it was, the first 800 was about 8 lengths below standard. He had a lot of work to do, and he really did power to the line.
Was there anything respect to the overall sectionals for the day that were particularly about standing about his performance, or was it just more just relative to the race? He was very good. How did it stack up overall?
Yeah, well, it was a low rating race. It was only the 2-year-old rated lower, so it wasn't a high pressure race by any standards. But 7th best last 600, 7th best last 400, 8th best last 200 for No Say in It. His run was clearly better in the closing sections than anything else in the race. The winner, he was 10th best 400 and 13th best last 200. So he did a good job also, but it was a pretty low pressure race.
What were your thoughts here, Brendan?
Yeah, Sikorsky, Dino outlined that he didn't really handle the turn there yesterday. He just doesn't do himself any favours. I know the pace was slow, but just that over racing habit that he's got just left him probably maybe that little bit vulnerable late there yesterday. All Too Hoying wound up well, was really solid to the line, liked the effort of Bartholomew Diaz back to the inside, No Say in It. Closing sections were good. Pure Scott, honest as always. I thought Sickening ran a good enough race, making a pretty big step up in grade. Tavis Run back on the inside was okay, although he got away with a cheap lead, and I think Buena Veloz hard up there against the inside is just about ready to go. Maybe not second up, but third up won't be too far away at all.
What was your take on the import Bartholomew Diaz, Dino?
Yeah, I thought he ran well, Warren, but as I said, it was a gentle speed, and I think he got into a nice rhythm, worked through his gears. He didn't charge home, sectional time-wise, but he ran a good race. It was a very bunch finish, so these horses, I don't think, have had a very taxing run, so we might see, some of these could back up pretty quickly. Whether a horse like Buena Veloz goes to the Swan Hill Cup next week, I'm not sure. But his run was quite good. And Andrea Montagna, first run for the new stable, went very nicely. If he's going back to the jumps in a few runs' time, he was going through the line well. And that probably sums up how gentle a tempo it was, because he was coming off the Galleywood hurdle.
Race 8 was the Valet Kevin O'Brien handicap over 1,400 metres. Lewis German made the most of his opportunity for the Price and Kent stable.
And moving up is Heptagon in the middle of the track to take the lead with Jumbo Asaki. It's Heptagon from Jumbo Asaki, then Victoria Star and Kaplumpich winding up. Heptagon approaching the 100 metres in front of Victoria Star and Kaplumpich. Heptagon going well for Lewis German, and Heptagon won it. Heptagon first, Photo second, Kaplumpich or Victoria Star from Jumbo Asaki.
Time of the year that we generally see apprentices shining, Brendan, but to some extent that's the case also. But probably the jockey ranks here in Victoria are a little bit stronger than they would normally be, with jockeys not able to head to Queensland and the like unless doing the isolation. Now, how did you see Lewis's ride here?
Yeah, good, really mature ride on the bike, a long way out, was out wide, had his momentum and really built it off the turn. Might have got there a little bit early, but he just kept in rolling. I thought it was a really good effort. Kaplumpich followed him into the race on that 3-wide line. Solid performance from him. Victoria's Star sat handy to the speed, was solid enough. Jumbo Asaki good back towards the inside. David Hayes was giving Safford a bit of a plug yesterday morning, and he's run well on the inside, but not well enough for those who was tipping in at the $101 with Gareth yesterday morning. Thought Viral was okay, and Biometric just never got into the clear at all. He's one that'll be in the black book for next time. Just never got clear. But Heptagon, you could make a case with clear luck. He probably should have gone pretty close to winning the Wongoom. He was on the winner's back there and then just got a check out on the turn and lost his hope on that occasion. But he was able to get into the clear yesterday, build his momentum, and he was pretty good through the line.
He's a horse that's got a good second up record, Dino, and he maintained that yesterday down in grade from the Wongoom, as Brendan outlined. And he was well enough found, across a number of tipping platforms. He went round at pretty good odds yesterday, did Heptagon?
Went round very good odds. He as mentioned, was terrific in the Wongoom. And, gee, it was a, if Right You Are was a good watch, this was a sensational watch because you could see that the speed, Limbs Lightning, was going too hard. And he was just in that absolute sweet spot. He was about six lengths off the lead and in clear air when he could just go into the race when he wanted to. And as Brendan said, he was going so well, he probably got there too early. But it was ideal, and he won well. Kaplumpich, what a good, genuine horse he is. He doesn't have much favours at the draw, and yesterday he had to go right back and made a long run, and he just churned out another good performance. Victoria Star was solid, as Brendan mentioned about Saffin, ran well at the big odds. Dan and Roman, sectional times show that he ran very well, and biometric, not much luck when he needed it at a crucial stage. I think if he got clear, he'd have probably got into the money somewhere.
How did this race rate overall?
Yeah, best race of the day, Warren. Highest pressure and the best figures of the day, and Heptagon above standard, the first three across the line above standard. So, for a, what was it, an 84 or so, it'll be a solid form reference going forward.
Last race, Mahamadeus was there with Rhys McLeod aboard for Nick Ryan, just trying to get that next victory on the board.
Zinvalok taking Mascalino, then Hangman around the outside. It's been wide the trip. Further back in the centre is Mahamadeus. Then came towards the inside, Char Rossa, and then Karzoff, Pakadali, So You Win, Super Titus a fair way back, but it's Zinvalok and Hangman together. Can Hangman finish it? At the 150 lead, Mahamadeus chasing Pakadali, Super Titus and El Farris. It's Hangman in the shadows. Mahamadeus has got it, though. Mahamadeus took the front and won the last from Pakadali, Hangman and Super Titus.
Probably a similar scenario to Heptagon, Dino. When I was watching this race, I thought, gee, Mahamadeus is in the sweet spot. But when then Hangman came round his outside, I was worried whether he'd be able to pick up enough. But he was the one who then had the last crack after Hangman having a crack at him earlier.
Yeah, exactly, Warren. And, I thought the winning part of this ride was in the first 300 metres that Rhys McLeod established good position in running, then acknowledged that the speed was going a bit hard. Mascalino, they were going along at a good speed, Mascalino and Inverloch, and he just came back that two or three lengths, and as you said, got the sweet spot. Then he had to just manoeuvre around Hangman. He did it without losing much momentum, and I thought it was a day of really good riding because of the nature of how the track played. You had to get to the right spot, and I thought Rhys did a terrific job on Mahamadeus to win. Pakadali's going really well. It was last week too wet for him and too close to the speed. Hangman, well, he looked like he was going to break through. He just couldn't hang on. Super Titus, very, very good again. He's in really good form. Al Farris, I think he'll win the Banjo Patterson series if they go that way, because he's running well at 2,000. Waitley gets to 2,500, 2,600. He's in really good form. And So You Win, he's been hopeless on the wet track, so I think he's got no benefit out of those runs. Yesterday was a lot better. If he can get another dry track in 2 weeks, he'll go close to winning.
Girl Tuesday?
Yeah, she's a beauty to have in a race because she takes up a lot of percentage. Yesterday, look, she might have had a bit of bad luck in the run, but she's not one of mine.
She's pulled up with blood in the near side nostril and just has to gallop to the steward's satisfaction over 1,000 metres prior to racing again. How did you see the last, Brendan?
Yeah, Mahamadeus, he was due to win another one. He had been working well before this, and good to see him notch another one up. As Dean said, he just eased out of that speed battle and was pretty good through the line. Hangman, he was there to win, just couldn't hold on. Pakadali back on the drier track was much more of a benefit to him than the wet track at Flemington, and just ridden back beyond midfield. He probably looked gone on a couple of occasions, but he just kept on coming to the line. A really good effort. Dino outlined Al Farris, he's ready to win. Inverloch, I thought he was a good enough effort. He's only been beaten 2.5 lengths or so, and he was right up there on that speed with Mascalino down nearer the inside, a little fresh and off the Warrnambool Cup run. You would think he can be competitive in races in the coming weeks. And High and Dry, eligible for Rhesia, didn't get a lot of room when it probably needed it. Back in behind, horses been beaten 4.5 or so. Thought was an okay effort. Maybe Ballarat today might have been the easier option for him, but good to see Mahamadeus get another win on the board.
terrific competitive day's off-season racing at Caulfield yesterday, highlighted by the trebles to the Mick Price and Mick Kent Jr. stable, or the treble and the double of riding to Ben Malham. Some of the highlights there. It's 13 to 10 on RSN 927. We'll look at some interstate highlights after this. Chat with Adrian Bott earlier this morning, Dino. A week at Aquas Farm for Dawn Passage and then lining up in the Stradbroke next week. How does he line up against that type of opposition following yesterday's victory?
I think he lines up particularly favourably, Warren. He's just a good horse. He's hitting the race at the in the right sort of form. He has had a beautiful preparation. He's got the big weight drop. And I thought it was a really good win yesterday because he tried to tuck in early, then push forward mid-race. But what he then did is rest well and then kick on. I think he's got a lot of good racing skills, and that'll serve him in good stead whether he goes forward or sits midfield in a Stradbroke with a lightweight. I think James Innes Jr. pulled the right rein going into isolation for this horse. I think he and Trekking for Mine stand out a little bit going into the Stradbroke.
Information from the coming stable, the Trekking is up there for the Stradbroke. And two starts ago was a real tactical race, the Guineas with Dawn Passage, Dino, the English Guineas, and then yesterday through circumstances just having to get more forward. So that could be part of his evolution, as you said, in just developing his riding style and his racing craft?
Yeah, exactly right. And he's shown that through this preparation. He can be ridden in a variety of ways. And yeah, I just like his determination, pins the ears back, has a real go, and he's a very nice horse in the right form for a race like the Stradbroke.
Different year this year, Brendan, but we know you like a long-range Stradbroke pick. Is there anything we need to be keeping an eye on for you next week?
I fell into my old mate Ty's own again. He's ticking along okay. Is he bringing the right form lines? Probably not, but he'll be there and he'll be running on late. He's looking for the step out to 1,400 metres, but Dawn Passage is going to be pretty hard to beat. Dean outlined it nice. I like that tractability where he was caught wide, rolled forward, and then was able to settle again. A three-year-old colt, sometimes you fire him up like that, he might just get carried away with it and not come back underneath and really relax. I thought he was really good there yesterday. Subpoena was a good effort after bombing the start. Exhilarates is ready to go wherever she heads next, but Dawn Passage will give a good account of himself in the Stradbroke next week.
And a highlight of the day from a training perspective, Dean. He had the numbers in his favour, Chris Waller, but the first six across the line in a chairman's handicap, and his other runner, Brimham Rocks, running ninth, and stable representative up there in Queensland saying that he was unlucky.
Yeah. Francis Cook, and then they'd be dirty. They were the one that didn't get in the money. But, terrific achievement in Le Juge. Back to the scene of the crime where he won his last race a year ago to the same meeting, winning the chairman. So he got the job done. But, he had multiple runners in the three staying races in the three states yesterday. And he didn't come away with the prize in Melbourne, but the other two venues he did.
Other highlights from the card in Brisbane for you, Dan?
Certainly, I thought the win of Shelwa in the last was a good performance. Scalapini, he's an amazing horse, Scalapini. What a winning, he's just a winning machine, really. He's won so many races. I think he's up to 17 or 18 wins or something. And looked as though he was in trouble with about 200 to go, but Boris Thornton got him out and he really hit the line hard. And that was a terrifically strong win.
Your thoughts on the rest of the card in Brisbane, Brendan?
Yeah, Scalapini was good. Did mind the work of a horse in the same race, Sharp Hustler. Followed him through back to the inside. Looks like Sharp Hustler's just about ready to win. I thought Vanner Girl's effort in the Pam O'Neill was good, and nice to see Crone come back and run a bit of a race there in the last. Just missed out at the big price.
Just before we talk about the Belmont Sprint in Western Australia, I just want to highlight something out of the Stewards Report. Just a quirky note I noticed in the Brisbane Stewards Report just regarding Jake Bayliss. And he was riding a horse. I'll just track down that the Stewards Report regarding Jake Bayliss. He was fined for his behaviour, unfortunately, for Jake. And I'll track down that area of the Stewards Report. Dino, I didn't get your take on Vanna Girl. What was your take of the performance of Vanna Girl? I was particularly taken with her win. Am I overstating her performance?
No, it was a good effort. Time was there, and she was very good. So you know, she's in she's above average and might be one that come out of this carnival.
I've found the area of the stewards report that I wanted to highlight. It's in race six. Jake Bayliss rolled Hold the Line. He was held up for clear running for a major part of the home straight and went to the line not fully tested. His rider, Jake Bayliss, pleaded guilty to a charge of misconduct in that returning to the enclosure, he uttered an audible profanity and was fined the sum of $400. I'm glad the Queensland stewards weren't on the golf course with me on Friday, Dino.
No, and gee whiz, if you stand in the mounting out at Caulfield and they go down that ramp after each race, the jockeys, you could rack up quite a few fines, I'd reckon.
They're losing an opportunity to raise revenue there, Brendan, I would think, fining people on race courses for audible profanities.
Well, he's probably unlucky that there was no crowd here. They probably wouldn't have heard him had they had a crowd. So he might find himself a bit stiff there, but the stewards are topping up the Christmas party fund anyway, so well done to them.
One of the stronger races around Australia yesterday was the Belmont Sprint. We heard Lindsay Smith tell us how the quality of their horses. There was a number of them that we know from their performances here in Victoria. Let's have a listen to how it unfolded.
The stablemates together, Abdicator, the Velvet King. The Velvet King on the outside reaches the lead at the 250. Back in the field, Angelic Ruler starting to erupt with her run. She's starting to finish brilliantly. She's coming out after the lead of the Velvet King. Perfect Jewel over towards the inside runs on. The Velvet King, Perfect Jewel, head and head to the line. Wonderful finish. Perfect Jewel, the Velvet King, I'm not sure. Third, Angelic Ruler, she came to the end of her run abruptly. Behind those, close up, Abdicator. And also Arctic Stream, Mississippi.
Well, it's quite normal to see a horse in Bob Peters' colours, Dino, take out a feature race in Western Australia. It's not often that it's at $31 and rolling the favourite.
And no William Pike, Paddy Carberry, who's having a really good run at the moment and got the most out of Perfect Jewel, just pumping the mare to the line to beat the Velvet King. Angelic Ruler, she ran well. She's a bit of a loomer for mine. She runs very good races without winning out of turn. The one that I was most interested in watching was Humidor, because he might be the next project horse like Blackheart Bart last year for Lindsay Smith to get him back into Group 1 form. I thought he made a lovely return, just working to the line under his own steam late.
Do you have an opinion on this race, Brendan?
Yeah, I think most were hoping the Velvet King was going to hold on. He was in front before the line and after the line, but Perfect Jewel nabbed him on it. Angelic Ruler hit the wall with 50 to go. I thought Gadding was good, and as Dean outlined, Humidor, he was just tanking along up in behind them. A little bit more ground, and maybe second up he might be able to go a bit closer.
Perfect Jewel taking out the Belmont Sprint, rolling the favourite, the Velvet King, who sat outside the lead. Appeared to have every chance, but Perfect Jewel proving a little bit too strong. Plenty of racing highlights right around Australia yesterday, particularly at Doomben in Brisbane and here at home in Caulfield on the Belmont Sprint. Time for the boys' take on horses to follow and runs of the day.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
And we'll start with you, Dino. How do you put yesterday in perspective with the run of the day and a horse to follow?
Interstate Dawn Passage, the run of the day. Locally, it was Heptagon for me and the horse to follow. As I mentioned out of the last, I think El Faris is going really well for a longer race, and I think he'll start winning very soon.
Plenty of SMSs congratulating you on your performance yesterday, Dino, and thanks for getting the quaddie for the listeners. Look forward to hearing your contribution right throughout the week.
Out, Warren, because they'll be good when I don't get the quaddy. I'll feel better about myself.
Yes, I'll put them in an archive. We always need that to cheer us up occasionally. How do you summarise yesterday, Brendan?
Run of the day, we'll go with Heptagon. Thought a really good performance and one to follow. Toss up between Buena Veloz and Biometric.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Vanna Girl as my run of the day. I just loved her performance in Queensland. Certainly not putting it in the category of the way Winx stormed to her wins in Queensland and then established her dominance. But I think there's something a little bit special about Vanna Girl winning the Pam O'Neill run of the day for me, and no say in it. And Biometric, the two that I'd like to highlight in particular, Biometric, Brendan, as a horse to follow. And plenty coming up on Sunday Central. What's the highlights of the next couple of hours with you in the chair?
We're going to take a look at the program at Ballarat, then Mawillumbah, Bordertown, Toowoomba, Tamworth and Cranbourne before the Greyhounds kick off at Healesville, and we get the big card of racing at Toowoomba underway. So Matty Stewart's also going to be along for a chat, and maybe Johnny Rolfe a little bit later on. We'll have everything at Greyhounds with George Ferrugia. It's been a big couple of weeks in Greyhound racing, so we've got a busy couple of hours coming up, Warren.
Must listening and plenty of winners, no doubt, in the next couple of hours with Brendan Delaney. That takes us out for Correct Weight. Stay tuned for RSN Sunday Central.